It can move mountains. Faith. How many mountains have you moved lately? It is probably the most valuable thing that a Christian possesses. And yet, the reception of faith does not come with an owner's manual other than the Holy Scriptures for us to be able to operate it and to work with it. The fellow that had a very, very sick boy was exposed by Jesus when he said, "Jesus, if you can do anything, please help him." And Jesus said, "If you can." What do you mean, if? Don't you trust me? Don't you believe that God can fix this problem? And immediately the man said, "I believe. I do believe. But there's a part of me that is very unbelieving, I realize now." So for Christian Education Sunday, I thought we should sign all of us up. And I did that. I signed you all up for a course in faith. It's not just one course, but it's a whole class schedule. I've got you in 101, 102, 201, 250, 301, and 450, because you and I all need to learn more about faith. So, let's just say we're going to major in faith. Everybody needs to do that. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And with faith, everything is possible. Jesus said the same thing. He said, "All things are possible for one who believes," in verse 23. We need to learn faith. And it will happen as we go through the fall. It has been happening all summer. And in our lives, we grow in faith. What courses should we take? Well, The Faith 101. The faith is one of the meanings of the word faith. It's not just something you have in your heart, but it's a body of truths, a body of doctrines. Even some call them dogmas, which are unassailable and true. But sometimes they cause a little bit of arguing. We see that arguing going on in our text right away. They're arguing about the proper way to get rid of this demon that's causing this boy to convulse and foam at the mouth. It was scary. Can you imagine having a child like that? And he'd been that way for a very long time. The faith has something to say about this, and it has something to say about every aspect of human life. It has something to say about God and his existence. We don't know everything about God, but a lot has been revealed to us. And we base everything that we're teaching in Sunday school, we base everything that we're teaching in our church, and I do in my counseling with people and in my sermons, on the truths it revealed in the Bible. A Bible in the hand is worth two on the bookcase. Ever heard that before? The Bible is like a telescope. It allows you to see very, very precisely things that are very, very far off from us. But a telescope doesn't work by looking at it. It only works by looking through it. And so we need to put our eyeballs on it and actually think about what it has to say to us. And it will show us things that are far, far away. faith. A little faith will bring your soul to heaven, somebody said. But great faith will bring heaven to your soul. Second course is the faithful. These are the people that have already believed. You're among them if you believe, and you can be a resource for other people, but let them be a resource for you. Do you notice how many people were gathered about this boy trying to figure out what to do for him? And Jesus said, "Oh, you faithless generation." Faithless. And I think he would say the same thing about this generation and almost every generation. We are a spiritual people. We think about and talk about spiritual things a lot, but we are faithless. We don't even think about trusting God much of the time. We think about how we can solve it ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with solving it ourselves, except that we can't do it. Even Albert Einstein believed in the mysterious. He said, if you take the mysterious out of science, you're going to be not understanding anything. He compared it to a child walking into a room, like a library full of books, and the child would immediately understand that there was an order and there was a lot of information here. But the child wouldn't understand how it's ordered or how to look up everything. A child would simply stand in awe of the mystery of all that knowledge. And that's how we are. When we enter the world of science or of literature or of history or of mathematics, anything, and including religion or theology, there's so much to learn. And if we think we've already maxed out our learning capacity, think of how that shuts down everything. But faith has a lot to learn. We know people. We know people who have stories. And when we listen to them and listen to their stories, we grow. We can learn and even inquire about how they got through a tough situation or how they handled a problem and let their faith shine on us. That's a skill. That's a knowledge that we need to sign up for. That's why we go to church. Going to church puts us in contact with other Christians. That doesn't mean we're going to get all the answers to all of our questions, but some of the mysteries will be revealed to us in the faith lives of other people. And when we know them, we will be blessed by them. It always happens. I marvel at it. Okay, next class is Fact and Fallacy 201. Now, you might not think that facts and fallacies have anything to do with faith. Mistake. Facts go alongside faith so that we can grow and compare. What did Jesus do when it was time to heal that boy? The first thing he did was to do an investigation. Not only was he asking, "What are you arguing about?" he asked for the boy to be brought to him. And when the boy was brought to him, he saw how his condition was and how serious it was. Even the demon made a big show of it. That was another mistake for the demon. But Jesus figured out that this boy needed some help. And then he said, how long has he been this way? He acted like a doctor. You know your doctor, he takes down notes about your situation before he writes a prescription. And Jesus figures out that this is one of the tough demons, one of the ones that comes out only by prayer. That kind of means, I think, that only God can get rid of that demon, and nobody can. We often sometimes put a dichotomy between faith and science. And this is very huge at the university level. It has robbed a lot of our young people of faith because they were told in university, you either believe in God or you follow science. And if you follow science, you cannot believe in God. God's out of the picture. Now, science didn't develop that way. Science grew out of faith and a trust in the beauty of God's world. But some people think they know better than to trust in God. However, science and faith are, well, they should be friends. Why shouldn't they? God has made everything. God has put things on earth for us to figure out and problems to solve, and he's promised to be with us as we do solve them. The more we study, the more we thank God. And the more we find out, the more we know we don't know about him and about the things that he made. But it's a wonderful thing to discover. I hope all you kids are excited about school. Has it worn you out already? Are you ready for summer vacation again? Or are you excited about your learning? There's stuff to learn that is so exciting. And when you get better at it, it gets even more exciting. Okay, there's a couple more classes. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is how to keep trusting when you're afraid. How to obey the Ten Commandments every time, all the time. How to act when you're in doubt about things. How to move when things are very scarce, when your pockets are empty, when your spirit is dry, when your faith is weak. How to keep moving. How to be faithful. And also how to get up again when you fall. This is a problem for a lot of guys. We make a mistake and we just want to head for the hills. There are guys that get so sad about their mistakes. They've made, you know, a few dozen in a row and they just feel suicidal even. I was talking to a guy, he says, there's 38 men that get together every week for breakfast. And lives are being saved because we get together and we all say, we blew it this week, but God forgives. And that's another thing that faith needs to teach us, is how to get back up again and to do it again after we've made a mistake. Class number five, there's only six today, fidelity. Fidelity means sticking with something, choosing a path and staying on that path. We live in a world that is full of multiple paths. That's the secret of the internet. If you can't find it in one direction, you can find it in another direction. It's like a net. But fidelity works like this, that you choose a path and you pursue it. One of the greatest examples of fidelity is the power in marriage. People have, marriage experts have said that the secret to marriage used to be in the past, they used to say the secret of marriage is all about friendship. Not that you just get put together with a man and a woman together in their arranged marriage, but that you become friends with them. But they found out that that didn't work very well, any better than the other way, although it was probably a good idea. And then they said it's all about finances. If you get the economic stuff figured out, like how can a a woman survive economically without her husband, and how can he handle things at home without her? You learn all those things, you know, you teach the husbands how to cook and the women how to spend money or how to make money, and you keep going and going and going until everybody's equal, and they found out that doesn't work as well as the old way, or any better than the old way, although it's still a good idea. And then they started to talk about communication. And they said the secret to a happy marriage is communication. If you can talk to your spouse, then you can get through to them, and maybe even have a soul connection, be soulmates, everything will be fine. And they found out that doesn't work any better than the other way. Fidelity is what works. And God designed it that way at the very beginning. He said a man will leave his father and mother and cleave. That means be faithful to her, fidelity to his wife, and the two will be one flesh. That one flesh is the one way, and God, by faith, will bring it through. What's your fidelity to? Where does it lie? In the last course, if you can get through all these other ones, is the fiduciaries. Now, fiduciaries are usually financial people, but I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about anything you put your trust in. How is it working? How is it going? Is it producing the fruit that you would like it to produce? 451 is all about that. How to know when you're trusting God what the reward is. St. Augustine said, faith is to believe what we do not see. And the reward of faith is to see what we believe. I hope that some of you are seeing some of the fruit of your faith. A lot of it you won't see. Even things that were sown by generations before are just now coming to fruition. But you remember what I said about the telescope? You look through it to see something far away, but later on you can see it right close up. And that is the reward of trusting in a Savior like Jesus. Because he is the one that not only shows us the way to heaven, but he also shows us the way to today. He showed that boy a great blessing by driving that spirit out of him. The boy didn't do anything, but his faith received the blessing of having that demon driven out. And his father received the blessing of a stronger faith to trust no matter what. So this is what I think we need to do. In order to get on the start of this course of study, this fall term, pray for faith. I don't care what you pray for. Pray for anything. Pray without ceasing. But don't forget to pray for a stronger faith. Because when you pray for a stronger faith, that's something besides all the things you're praying for. And when you pray for a stronger faith, you're acting like faith brings everything. Because it does. Martin Luther said it. He said, God has made all things depend on faith. He knew that by faith we receive the things that Jesus has done when he died on the cross. By faith we receive the forgiveness of our sins, and with that, life and salvation. By faith we get an inheritance, like Abraham, of all the things that God wants us to have. So pray for faith, not for things. Because without faith, nothing is possible. And with faith, nothing is impossible. There was a little boy that went out on a windy day with a kite. and a lot of string, and his dad. And his dad said, well, we're going to lift the kite up and let the wind catch it, and then it's going to go out, and you reel out the string, and it will fly. And sure enough, that's what the boy did. Got the kite in the air. And then he said, look, Dad, it's flying. I knew it would fly because you said so. Your life will fly too, because God said it would. Pray for faith. Let's do it right now. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray for stronger faith. It is what connects us to you. It connects us to the blessings of life and salvation in Jesus Christ. And it connects us to one another who believe. We ask that you would give us a stronger faith. Not all the answers, not all the blessings, but the blessing of faith, a stronger faith, would be the thing that would help our unbelief. So be with us today. Send us your Holy Spirit and increase our faith. In Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you, Father, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.